It's a sprint to week 7 as we are an hour away from those 1 o'clock Eastern kickoffs, 10 o'clock a.m. here in the desert. Every single Sunday we get you set. It is the pregame show on VSiN, the sports betting network. All the line moves, all the inactives, and of course, analysis and what's going on from behind the counter. Vinny Maiulo from the South Point will join us in less than 25 minutes. It is a great Sunday. It always is to be talking to you folks, and it always is to be talking to my partner in crime. That is James Salinas, who is always looking good at the BetMGM Lounge there at Empower Field at Mile High Stadium. And James, I can promise the people this, unlike Will Smith last night, we will keep our eye on the ball.
Yeah, well, full disclosure, I'm not at the Empower Field today because the Broncos are playing home game. So I'm here at the control room here in my office, which is basically my basement here in Denver. But I live just down the street from Mile High Stadium. And I can tell you this, I'll give you the weather report. It is freezing cold here in Denver. So it's going to be an interesting game between Kansas City and Denver. We'll get into that matchup at some point during the show. But just it is absolutely freezing cold here in Denver.
You know, you got new setup there in the background. You threw me off. Your home studios is looking like a professional studio there. So I was a little bit thrown for a loop, but yes, you're in the home compound there. And that's one of the games, James, where we've seen some line movement, despite the fact that the public, you know, is going to want to lay the points with Kansas City because they do that every week. We've seen significant line movement with Kansas City and Denver down to 7 in most spots. So, what are your thoughts real quickly on the game that is not too far from where you sit right now? The Chiefs laying just a touchdown now against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, well, I did this earlier in the week just based on a few things. Number one was the weather. So I got it at 9.5, and I also have the under at 47.5. Oh. Now, those have definitely moved. I think right now, yeah, it's pretty much 7s out here across the board, as well as it's like 44 consensus out here too as far as that total. So I wouldn't recommend it now just because the value in both of those lines have dropped. But part of what I like about Denver is they're getting healthier, especially on defense. A couple defensive linemen are coming back at corner. A.J. Boye is coming back. He got hurt the first week of the season, so he's going to be back at full strength. So outside of Von Miller now, the rest of that defense is intact, and I think we've seen that's obviously going to be the strength of a Vic Fangio team, is going to be their defense, and in particular now at the not only at, in the secondary, but I think at the point of attack in the trenches. And I think that's where there's some concerns for me with Kansas City. They've had some issues at offensive line throughout the year. Injuries, opt-outs before the season started, and now Mitchell Schwartz, their right tackle, he's not going to be playing today either. And then on the defensive side, they're going to be short on their defensive line rotation. Both Okafor and Charlton are out. So, you know, it's going to be a freezing cold game here. Like I said, here's the thing when it's cold. We see it, the snow flurries. It's been snowing. There'll probably be some snow on the ground. I don't know if that's really going to impact the game, but it's going to be in the teens. But here's the thing. I just stepped outside a little while ago. It is freezing from a wind chill perspective. You step out there, and it's not a hard swirling wind. It's just this steady breeze, and it's one of those things, regardless, Tim, of how many layers you put on, it's one of those, when you have that wind chill and that breeze going, that gets deep into, that hits you deep into your bones, and I feel it right away. So, you know, no fun to play in from that perspective. Now, these teams are used to playing in that kind of environment, but I think with Kansas City, I think what we've seen the last couple weeks, teams playing a lot more zone, not letting Casey have big plays over the top, keeping everything in front of them. So those, as the game continues, I know they're going to have warmers and those things on the sideline, but really your extremities, your toes, your fingers, those really get cold throughout the game. So I think as this game progresses, it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a competitive game. So therefore, that's why I made the plays that I did, especially early in the week, taking the 9.5.
Yeah, that 9.5, that is certainly great, great value there. I know that word is thrown around way too much, but that's a great spot to get it at now that it is at 7. I just pulled it up on my phone, James. I don't understand your hometown's weather, okay? It's 15 degrees today, and it's going to be 64 and sunny on Friday. Like, what are we doing?
This is how it is. It's crazy here. Literally, I've lived with this my whole life. I've lived here my whole life. And we'll have a day where it could be literally 75 or 80 degrees. And in the span of less than 24 hours, you could see a shift in temperature 60, 70 degrees, complete opposite the other way.
That is James Salinas. I am Tim Murray. It is the pregame show here on VSiN. Welcome in. We get you set for each and every game. We focus a lot on those 1 o'clock Eastern games, but James and I just got done talking about weather being a factor there in Denver later on this afternoon. James, of course, in Denver, Colorado, as that game has been one of the number of games, James, that we've seen significant line movement this week and going against the popular picks. And we'll run down some games here. Once again, Denver and Kansas City, that game 4:25 Eastern, and it is going to be 15 degrees in Denver today with certainly a chance of some snow there. So Denver getting 7 at home earlier this week. It was at 9.5. Another head-scratching one, and we got some official news not too long ago that Aaron Jones will officially be out, James, for the Green Bay Packers. And I think a lot of people, the public, can't run fast enough to grab the points, or sorry, to lay the points with the Green Bay Packers in this spot. We saw Houston a little bit of a fishy line last week, and Romeo Crennel decides to go for two. That does not get converted. Maybe someone on this side of the desk had Houston and had to watch it just go down in flames as they did not get the cover against the Tennessee Titans. But now you've got a really fishy line because the public is all over Green Bay here, James, but the line has gone the other way. So what are your thoughts on Green Bay coming off a loss, laying only 3 against a 1-5 football team?
Yeah, so you talked about it. Aaron Jones not playing. Neither is left tackle Bakhtiari. He's not going to be there either. So key loss on that offensive line. I think people are just anticipating, all right, bounce back for Green Bay. They really got humbled last week down in Tampa. I think we've seen that out of Aaron Rodgers throughout his career. You know, he's kind of a quirky guy, and he's got a bit of arrogance to him. And they scored early in that game. They had a 10-point lead early in that first quarter. And one of the plays, he actually didn't score, but he thought he had scored and was doing his little, I don't know what he was doing on the sideline. It's a family show here, Tim. So we don't want to get in too much detail with that. But I think he got a little mentally lazy, because then the next possession, they got it back. They're up 10-0. He's got the ball again and totally looked and locked down. I think it was Devontae Adams just running a simple out. Yep. Usually Aaron Rodgers is better than that, where he's not going to be mentally lazy, but I think he was feeling himself pretty good, completely stared down his receiver, easy jump. You know, they make the play on the ball, easy jump, pick six, and the entire game just flipped on that, really, that big play. And it was a big play, but I just come from the perspective of Aaron Rodgers just being a little full of himself, got a little lazy there, and they paid for it. And then it was just a one-way street the other way. So now looking at this game, thinking, all right, now it's got to be the bounce back, and what team to get better to bounce back against than Houston, especially on their defensive side. We saw that last week. If you had to sweat that out, well, actually didn't become much of a sweat at overtime when they did the coin flip and you saw Deshaun Watson when they didn't, it was over. He threw his hands, turned his head like, yep, we're going to lose, because knowing full well that defense wasn't going to be able to make a stop, which they didn't. They go score, opening drive, party's over. There goes the Texans again, continuing to spiral. And I think that's the thing with Deshaun Watson, is it's all on him, Tim. He has to do everything. On the offensive side, they're not getting a running game going, so everything has to fall on his shoulders to make plays, and he's fully capable of making plays. I suspect there's going to be a lot of points, obviously, in this game today, but I think the bigger piece is the Houston defense. They're not getting any pressure on the quarterback, so if ever there was a game for Aaron Rodgers to reacclimate himself to the kind of player that he is, this is going to be the game, because he's probably not going to feel a whole lot of pressure in that pocket.
Yeah, you mentioned the run game. David Johnson has actually been more effective this year than he was last year. But to your point, he has now gone 25 straight games without eclipsing 100 yards. So to your point, the run game, not there for the Texans. It is all on Deshaun Watson. And if you watched Houston and Tennessee last week, no surprise that this is the highest total on the board at 56.5, actually opened up at 57. So an interesting one. You know, all around you see these percentages out there of, you know, where the public's putting their money. We'll talk to Vinny Maiulo here in about 15 minutes or so about, you know, where the public is leaning. Green Bay is the heaviest public-sided game so far heading into week seven here with the 1 o'clock window. The most anticipated matchup, James, of this 1 o'clock window is certainly a battle of undefeateds, that is. You got Pittsburgh visiting the Tennessee Titans, and we've talked line movement. Earlier this week, Tennessee was a short dog at home, and that flipped, and now you see Pittsburgh as a 1.5-point dog at home. So this is a really clash of strength versus strength, because you've got Derrick Henry, 588 yards on the ground, best in the NFL, and then you've got this Pittsburgh run defense allowing just 66 yards per game, second best in the NFL. So strength versus strength. No Devin Bush for Pittsburgh. What do you see in this one in Tennessee?
Yeah, this one I'm not playing. This one's going to be a great game to watch. I'm struggling with this game. Is actually not supposed to be happening today. It was rescheduled. They had to do all the flip flopping of all these schedules based on what happened with Tennessee a few weeks back, and we're going to continue to see scheduling changes. This was actually supposed to be Pittsburgh at Baltimore. So I think truly, I'm interested to see this game. I think it's going to be an absolute alpha male game in this. Who's going to establish themselves at that line of scrimmage? I know both teams. Really want, like you talked about, Tennessee wanting to run the football. No Taylor Lewan. He's out for the rest of the year at that left tackle position. So I want to see how impactful that's going to be, because not only is he a terrific player, but also he's a big piece of that. He's got a bit of, there's a nastiness to him. And I think other folks, you know, his other teammates feed off of that, especially on that offensive line. He sets the tone of how they're going to be physical and more physical than their opponent. So, and then that really, I think, opens up what's Tannehill's been having a spectacular season. Yes. But it's that play action run game that opens things up. And I'm curious also to see, Tim, the loss of Devin Bush. So he's a fantastic playmaker there at linebacker, but he's the green dot guy, right? He's the one that gets the signals into the helmet, makes the defensive checks at the line of scrimmage. So what is that going to look like for Pittsburgh having to fill those shoes? Those are big shoes to fill. So I didn't play this game. I'm excited to watch the game, but I can make a case for both sides. And usually when I can make a case for both sides to win and cover, that's question marks for me. That's really a stay away game for me. If anything, Tim, I really think the true winner in this game is going to be the Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Because they're getting a bye this week. They get to host Pittsburgh. So this is going to be a bloody, bruising battle today between these two teams. And you may see a limping Pittsburgh team have to go into Baltimore while Baltimore's getting to rest this week. I think Baltimore is the big winner in this matchup.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's going to be a huge matchup next week. The AFC North, it feels like after the Steelers' dismantling of the Browns last week, and you think back earlier in the year, the way the Ravens beat the Browns, those two have separated themselves a bit from the pack in the AFC North. James, you mentioned Ryan Tannehill on play action, and a great stat from ESPN here. Ryan Tannehill, since he became the Titans starter in week 7 last year, has a 92.1 QBR and has thrown 15 touchdowns on play action. And then I mentioned strength versus strength. You got the good run defense against the great rushing attack. Well, Pittsburgh's defense is also very strong against the play action, lowest QBR and completion rate so far this season. So it is going to be a great game. I'm like you. I don't have a play. Just this is a sit back in the couch type of watch this game. This is going to be a really good one. And as we really get excited for that game and we make it, you know, sound as great as it is, how about we go to rainy FedEx Field, where you've got Dallas, who is 0-6 against the spread, got absolutely obliterated, embarrassed, however you want to define it, on Monday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals, and you've got Washington there at 1-5. Line movement galore here. Opened Dallas in some spots laying 3.5, and now Washington is a favorite. This offensive line, James, for Dallas is a complete mash unit. Leo Collins, Tyron Smith, we know they're out for the year. Travis Frederick, of course, retired back in March. Zach Martin, their Pro Bowl right guard, he's out with a concussion. The backup left tackle who filled in for Tyron Smith, he's out today. So you've got a handful of rookies. This is a really, really interesting matchup. It's going to be raining, I think, all day long at FedEx Field there in Landover, Maryland. Anything on this one? As I mentioned, we've seen a swing of about 4 points in this spread, as Washington is now a favorite.
Yeah, I talk about the matchup there with the offensive line. I think that's where the advantage is for Washington. Obviously, their defensive line, that's the strength of their team on either any of their units is their defensive line. So they get to go up against this patchwork offensive line for Dallas. So many question marks, not only from a talent perspective with the injuries at the offensive line, but what is their identity? I think we've been trying to figure that out all season. The fact that when Prescott was in there before he got hurt, was playing phenomenally. It wasn't the issue of being able to make plays in the passing game, but they really got away from that run game with Ezekiel Elliott. And now, obviously, with this offensive line, this is just not the same Dallas Cowboy team that we've been used to seeing over the years, where they had a spectacular run game because of that offensive line. Ezekiel Elliott able to run downhill. That's not what they are anymore. But in this case, now you don't have Prescott in there anymore. And I think there's some issues. There's a lot of locker room issues going on in there as well. Players calling out the coaching staff saying they don't know how to. Then we're not well prepared. They don't know how to make in-game adjustments. So a lot of finger pointing going on there. But then really, Tim, I look at the Washington side and it's just offensively, it's just been a struggle for them all season long. You know, rotating door at quarterback now with Kyle Allen in there, but he's a turnover waiting to happen. I like his intent, he brings some energy and he's a competitive kid, but you know, he's limited as far as his playmaking ability. And sometimes I think he tends to try to do too much. And that's what gets him into trouble turning the football over. So ultimately, if I had to, I'm not playing this game. If I did, that would force me to have to watch this game. So I think of all the absolutes, that's absolutely one that I don't want to play. It's on a smaller TV right here in my corner, so I'll keep an eye on it, but it's not one I really want to put a whole lot of energy into.
Yeah, it feels like this is one of those games if folks watch the Red Zone and Scott Hansen gets to it like an hour and a half in, you're like, oh yeah, this game is going on. I completely forgot. There's Dallas and Washington. But by the way, massive implications, because if Dallas wins this game, they're in sole possession of first place. And if Washington wins this game, well, they'd be just a half game back in that mighty, mighty NFC East. Well, speaking of great football teams, how about the winless New York Football Jets? Line movement here. Why not? People are betting the Jets. 0-6 ATS. By the way, James, we haven't had an 0-6 ATS team since 2013. And this year, we've got the joy of having two of them, Dallas and the New York Jets. Sam Darnold is expected to be back today. Jamison Crowder is out. There are some sharp bettors out there that have moved this line, opened up as high as 13.5 earlier this week. And now you see it, Bills just laying 10. James, are you one of those brave souls that's going to back the New York Jets today?
I am not backing them, but I understand the movement. I think there's a few things that are in play here. Obviously, with the Jets, nobody wants to go, as bad as they are and as dysfunctional as Adam Gase has created, you know, the dysfunction that he's created within that locker room, with all these players trying to opt out, get traded, get me out of here, release me out of my contract, etc. I think going undefeated is very difficult in this league. Rarely ever happens, but going winless in this league also is very difficult. Teams, there's competitive pride, even just as individual players, there's a competitive pride. And so this is a tricky spot, I think, for Buffalo. I looked at it early in the week and was, you know, I'm still alive in a couple in the survivor pool there at Circa. I have a couple entries still flying. And so looking at that, I was like, oh yeah, I continue to go against the Jets. But the deeper I looked into it, first thing that I looked at was there's a number of injuries with Buffalo going on, especially in the secondary. So I know Sam Darnold's coming back. Not that he's going to be the answer to exploit that secondary, but there are issues at corner, a number of injuries at corner. They're very, you know, they have no depth there right now. I know Tre'Davious White is active today, but he's been dealing on and off with a back injury and a leg injury as well. So I'm not sure. He's definitely not 100%. I'm not sure how effective he's going to be. And then on the other side for the Bills, when it comes to the scheduling, I think this is really a tough scheduling spot for Buffalo right here. They opened the season at home against the Jets and really handled that game start to finish. They were never in doubt of losing that game. But now you look at the scheduling spot. Last week, weird game. Weird scheduling has been going on for Buffalo as it is. Tuesday night, then a Monday night, playing the defending champs at home, losing that game. I know they've lost a couple games in a row. Now they're going to go play a bad Jets team that they've already handled this year. And looming on deck for Buffalo, they get to host the mighty Patriots in the AFC East. So tough sandwich spot here. I get the line move going towards the Jets for a number of those reasons. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not a play that I'm going to make.
Well, and Sam Darnold also has NF next to his name. That means not Flacco. So that's good. That's good news there for for the New York Jets. All right, real quickly before we hit a break, Vinny Maiulo going to join us on the other side. We'll head to Derek Stevens as well. Bottom of the hour, update on the Circa Grand Opening, which is coming up this week. Can't wait for that. Carolina at New Orleans. We know the numbers. I'll read them for you if you don't. Teddy Bridgewater as a underdog is 18-4 ATS in his career, 14-2 as a road dog against the spread. New Orleans laying a touchdown today. I've seen some spots. We see it on the board there. 6.5 here at the South Point, James. Just have about like 45 seconds to look at this game. We'll obviously dive into it later on. No Emmanuel Sanders, no Michael Thomas. Is this a spot to back the road team, or do you like New Orleans under a touchdown?
No, I like the Panthers. I had them at 7.5. I took them early, and I have them in the contest as well. That was the number of 7.5 in the Circa Millions. So tough when you move through that 7, yep. But I understand the line move here. We can get it. We'll, like you said, we'll break this down a little bit more in depth, but I like the line move towards the Panthers. I think Teddy Bridgewater coming has really been a leader for that team, and he knows that New Orleans defense inside and out, so definitely an advantage for Teddy Bridgewater coming back to play the Saints today as well.
That's James Salinas in a frigid Denver, Colorado. Fortunately for him, he's got heat in his home. I'm here in the desert in Las Vegas, and we'll stick in the desert when we come back. We'll go behind the counter. We'll talk to our good friend Vinny Maiulo. Where is that sharp money coming in for those 1 o'clock Eastern games? We'll discuss that next with Vinny right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Show here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Tim Murray here in Las Vegas. James Salinas in a frigid Denver, Colorado. You know, James, it's going to get down to the 50s as a high tomorrow here in Las Vegas, so I got to break out the parka, you know. I didn't know I need to bring winter clothes here to Las Vegas.
Oh, you're spoiled. Hey, you know what? It's probably going to be 70 here in just a couple days.
That's true.
So this is how the weather is here in Denver.
That's
pretty
true.
Wild.
And as football fans, if we get a little snowflake, we get all geeked up. So hopefully we see that later on this afternoon with the Chiefs visiting the Denver Broncos. But where's the money coming in, especially for these 1 o'clock Eastern kickoffs, which is 35 minutes away? Our weekly check-in now with our good friend Vinny Maiulo from the South Point joins us on the phone. Vinny, I'm staring at a game that I know the public is going to be all over, but the line's going the other way, and it just makes you scratch your chin a little bit. What are you seeing with Green Bay at Houston?
Green Bay and Houston, guys, good to be with you as always, and lots of action here in week 7, as we've seen in the first 6 weeks. This game here, more money on the Texans right now, but there's plenty of public money on the Packers. We opened the Packers 3.5. And 56 got bet up to 57. No real surprise there, especially when the Packers are involved with the total. But right now, Packers sitting as 3-point favorites. The total on the game, 56.5. Overall, two-way, but there's and there's teaser action on both of these teams. And but more parlays with the Packers right now. So right now, two-way action at 3 and the total 56.5. But I got a shocker for you. I mean, I hope you guys are sitting down, whether it's 50 degrees or 500 degrees. The game right above that in the rotation, the Buffalo Bills, 11 on the opener, got as high as 13 the other day. Sam Darnold coming out of off the injury list. The game is down to 10. Yes, support for the Jets.
Yes. Bold people. I know. Bold people, Vinny.
Yes. They are very bold here. So 10, 10 there. The Bills favored. Bills in a lot of teasers as well, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody.
So, Vinny, like Tim was just mentioning, it is really going to be a freezing cold game with that Chiefs and Broncos game. And now that we're getting in a week from now, it's going to be November. We're going to get into the elements. It's going to start getting colder across the league, and weather is going to impact some of these games. So from a bookmaking standpoint, I'm just kind of curious about process when we look at these totals. So I got the total under at 47.5. It's dropped all the way to 44. I know it opened somewhere between 48 and 49. What is the challenge as a bookmaker when you know you have to set the these lines really a week in advance, and we know how prognosticating games is hard enough. I think the same thing holds true with meteorologists trying to figure out what's going to happen in a week. But what is the challenge for you guys as a bookmaker when you see these weather reports come out as the week progresses?
Yeah, it's a good question, and of course it impacts the totals quite a bit. But usually we see this later in the year, right? In late November or December. So you got this this front that moved into the Midwest, and now the total down to 43.5 here at South Point off the 48-49 opener. By the way, money coming in on the Broncos as well. The game is down to 7, and we use 9 on the opener there. Now, the bigger thing about the weather, guys, is, you know, a lot of times we see these blizzards and things like that. I got to tell you, some of those games wind up with high scoring, but if the wind, the biggest thing that we're going to look for is what's the wind factor, right? I mean, if it's snowing, if it's raining, if it's a precipitation, that's one thing. I mean, you want ideal conditions, obviously, good weather, but the wind is more of a factor. So what you'll see is caution in terms of line movement, too. A lot quicker line movement with the totals, especially when we get confirmation on what the weather, especially the wind, is going to be.
Talk once again to Vinny Maiulo at VSiN Vinny on Twitter, odds maker for the South Point and contributor to VSiN, of course. Hey, Vinny, before we let you run, the most anticipated game of this 1 o'clock Eastern window is a game that wasn't initially on the schedule. Pittsburgh at Tennessee, battle of unbeatens. Seen some early line movement on this one where Pittsburgh opened a favorite, now Tennessee laying a point at home. What have you guys been seeing on this game?
Great two-way action. Great game for the bookmakers, and a great game for the public, too. So Steelers did open 1.5 on Monday. Very quickly, steady stream of money during the course of the week, the early part of the week on the Titans. They got as high as 1.5, down to 1, so they did take the 1.5 with the Steelers. This game will be probably the highest handle of the morning game, certainly one of the highest handles of the day.
Vinny, you're the best. Have a great Sunday, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you this week here on VSiN.
Yep. Best to you guys. Everybody, enjoy the games.
There he is, Vinny Maiulo, oddsmaker here at the South Point, at VSiN Vinny on Twitter. James Salinas, he's there in Denver. I'm here in Las Vegas. We'll stick in Las Vegas. We'll head down to Bar Canada, check in with Derek Stevens. Circa Millions, Circa Survivor. Oh, yeah, there's a grand opening, too. Got a lot to talk to Mr. Stevens next, right here on the pregame show on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Yeah, it is now this Tuesday. We've been talking about this event for quite some time, but now the time has come. Tuesday, October 27th, we will be live streaming the entire Circa Grand Opening event exclusively on VSiN.com, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern, going all through the night and leading up to the first broadcast of Follow the Money from our brand new studios inside the Circa Sportsbook at 7 a.m. Eastern. That'll be on Wednesday, October 28th. So 12 hours of live insider coverage from the Circa Grand Opening event on the 27th. On to the 28th, all for free at VSiN.com. Join Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, the VSiN team. I will be there. Danielle Alvari will be there. A guest list full of Las Vegas icons, celebrities for all the festivities. Once again, starting 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and it's free here on VSiN.com. It is the pregame show here on VSiN. Tim Murray here in Las Vegas, James Salinas in Denver, and we give that promo read to bring in the man, Derek Stevens. Derek Stevens joins us in this spot every single week on the pregame show. And Derek, let's start with that promo we just talked about. Believe it or not, it's coming. It's Tuesday. You got to get ready. How are preparations going for that grand opening, which I think everyone in town cannot wait for Tuesday night?
Yeah, we're at a point where you could say 5 years came fast. So we're ready on Tuesday night. I think what Bill Adie did, opening up the paywall for 9 hours of pregame during Circus Grand Opening, and all setting up the first Follow the Money show at 4 a.m. is pretty cool. So hopefully everybody can have an opportunity to watch if they can't be there for this event. And yeah, it's a great thing for Las Vegas. Great thing. We're excited about it. Lots of last minute preparations. Today is actually the full test day for our sports book, full test day for Stadium Swim. So, Mike Palm is over there at the controls. He just left here, set up everything at the D for a great football Sunday. And well, he's in control over there on these huge deck boards and things like that.
Well, Derek, talk about what's sneaking up on us fast. It's week 7 in the NFL. Talking contests, it goes by so quickly, doesn't it? So already to week 7. For myself, I'm playing both of your contests, hanging around pretty good in the Circa Millions, maybe, 6-7 games over 500 right now. So we can talk a little of Circa Millions, but also the Survivor. Interested to see where that number went. I'm looking at the numbers. We got a lot, maybe almost close to, 40% of the players that are remaining on the Bills today. It was a tricky game with this one. I don't like the scheduling spot for the Bills, so I stayed away from that one. I'm actually doing a couple Chargers. But what are you looking at for both the Circa Millions and the Survivor contest today?
Yeah, we're down to 351 people out of the 1390 to start. This week, the number one selection was the Bills with 152 selections, so a little over 40% of the pot. The number two selection was the Chargers, so that they had 110. So that's really the majority of the entire remaining pool. So I think every week that goes by, it becomes real interesting because all of a sudden you got a lot of teams that are not going to be real relevant because so many of the surviving contestants, they've already taken the Dolphins, they've already taken Indianapolis. But there's so many teams that are really out of the mix for the remaining entrants. So this is where it gets a little bit tricky. And, the Bills, when we posted it, Bills were an 11.5-point favorite. Now it's down to 10 with some of the tight end news and things like that. So, you know, it's one of these days where you're going to see one of these big upsets, and all of a sudden the pool goes down by half.
Talking to Derek Stevens, he's at Bar Canada. Once again, the grand opening of the Circa Tuesday night, live for free here on VSiN, leading up to the first broadcast of Follow the Money from our new studios there at the Circa. 152 of the selections on the Bills this week, 114 on the Chargers for the Circa Survivor, and then the consensus picks, or the top five popular picks, I should say, Panthers plus 7.5, Packers minus 3.5, Patriots minus 1.5, Bucks minus 3.5, Steelers plus 1.5 for the Circa Million 2. Derek, yesterday was quite a day. We had Habib fighting in the middle of a great college football day. Your Michigan Wolverines taking care of business pretty comfortably against Minnesota, and then a wild World Series game. So how was handle for you guys yesterday there at the Circa Sportsbook?
Yeah, it was something. I mean, we said a few weeks ago when the SEC came back that felt like the first college football Saturday, and that was obviously a big bump up. But yesterday took it to what we really thought this college football season could be. I mean, the Big Ten following is huge. It's a big part of our customer base here in downtown Las Vegas. And Big Ten coming back was terrific. A huge amount of volume, a lot of two-way action, a lot of halftime wagering, a lot of in-game wagering. So It was a great day. It was our largest handle day of the year on a Saturday. So it was a great day. And you're not kidding. What a baseball game. You know, I mean, I guess I was a little biased. Really, not so much on the number, but I wanted to get to a game six. So we got something to play on Wednesday here, on Tuesday. But what a finish this game was. I mean, really unbelievable. That last play is a play we're going to be watching for 20 years.
Yeah, right. And on to the next game tonight. So what do you anticipate with that being the lone base, only one baseball game, obviously, with the World Series, but a full slate of NFL today? What is that handle going to look like throughout the day for you guys there at the Circa?
Yeah, it should be great. I mean, the fact that we're going to end up, you know, with the shift in time slots. I mean, we got a great Sunday night football game, and you match it up with Game 5 of the World Series. Should be a great night. And look at this. This is what the NFL really needs to have. Look at these afternoon games. I mean, we've got some great afternoon games. I mean, you know, last week we're stuck with two, and we had two blowouts, so it wasn't optimal. But this is going to be just terrific. Terrific day of volume today. Yeah, and I'm excited about what we're doing because we're testing our new product out, and they got a lot of work to do because there's a lot of great football today.
Yeah, there are six games in that 10 a.m. window here in the Pacific, and then four games in that afternoon window before Sunday Night Football and Game 5 of the World Series. Derek, continue preparations. I will see you on Tuesday night. We cannot wait. I know the whole city is abuzz about this grand opening on Tuesday.
Yeah, a couple things. Just one breaking news thing here. Bills just went down to 9.5 at Circa, so it's all coming in on the other side for what that's worth. Number two, I just want to give you a couple numbers over at Circa. We have 6 miles of beer lines we're testing today. 6 miles of beer lines. It's really amazing. I mean, some of the data, you know, 4,000 bottles of booze coming in, 250 kegs. We're ready to go. So we're making sure everything's chilled, ready to go, and I can't wait to see you guys on Tuesday night into Wednesday morning.
6 miles. Wow. Derek, great stuff. As always, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
And once again, the grand opening of the Circa streamed for free live starting at 10 p.m. Eastern Tuesday night all through the night, leading you up to Follow the Money live from our Circa studios on Wednesday. We'll take a look at every game that is about to kick off when we come back on the pregame show on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Listening to our show right now, well, we want you to try watching us because, you know, James Salinas, he always looks good. He should be worthy of watching. So start watching right now. You can watch every VSiN show for free on VSiN.com. Watch Follow the Money from their new studios in the Circa Las Vegas, A Numbers Game, The Lombardi Line, My Guys in the Desert, and every VSiN program. It is all free 24/7 on VSiN.com this week. And while you're there, check out our 10-day free subscription trial to sample everything we have to offer, including daily best bets email and our point spread weekly betting guide. This is the perfect week to get more from VSiN, the sports betting network. Head to VSiN.com now to start watching for free. I tell you what, free is a good number. So head to VSiN.com, especially if you're listening on SiriusXM 204. It is the pregame show. Our coverage doesn't stop once the games get going. No. Mike Sinnott from Detroit, Wes Reynolds will join me here in studio. Well, not me. I'm getting out of here. And James Salinas, well, he will still be busy as they give you Betting Across America coming up at the top of the hour. But James, this is my favorite part of our show. Each and every week we go through the board, especially keying in on those games that are going to start 1 o'clock Eastern, top of the hour. We go down the rotation, and let's start with 451 and 452. We haven't hit on this game yet. We have the Battle of Ohio. This game has already taken place this year. Remember that Thursday night game in week two where Cincinnati got the backdoor cover. Cleveland is laying 3.5 on the road against the Bengals today with the total at 50.5, James.
Yeah, I wanted to take the Bengals, but again, looking at in the practice reports through the week, with Mixon being out of there, mm-hmm. I think that was key for the Bengals. We saw early in the season, young Burrow back there getting a lot of shots, taking a lot of hits because they were dropping back 40, 40, 50 times a game throwing the football, and I think they realized real quick, we can't have our young superstar back here in the making, have him take as many hits as what he's doing in the National Football League. So put some running game, get Mixon going, take a little pressure off of Burrow. Not so much pressure to win. There's no pressure to win in Cincinnati right now, just to compete and get better. But taking pressure off of Burrow when it comes to the opposing pass rush that was just putting him on the turf game in and game out. But not having Mixon there, not being able to have that consistent balance, I think that's going to be a problem. But I didn't want to play the Browns because I want to see how the Browns respond after really just getting completely worked by Pittsburgh last week. I think the Browns thought that was their game to say that, hey, we're a contender in the AFC North too. We can hang with the Steelers and the Ravens. We're part of the mix as well. And they got hammered last week, totally dominated from start to finish in that game. So I really wanted to see how are they going to respond? Now, I'm not going to take a whole lot of this game, win and or lose with the Bengals game, but I just want to see from really a competitive standpoint and a mental toughness standpoint, how did they respond from really that licking that they took last week in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, and you know Myles Garrett is going to be excited to get his licks on Joe Burrow. So that's a matchup to look for. It is a no play for me too. You're seeing not much line movement here. It's been pretty stagnant line-wise as the Browns laying 3.5 on the road. That 36-31 game, I thought the score was maybe not as indicative. I thought the Browns really dominated that first matchup. So this game will kick off top of the hour. 453-454. Ooh, this one. You know, if this was the late 80s or maybe mid 80s, because I know the Cowboys hit a little downstretch there in the late 80s. I mean, this was one of the best rivalries in all of the NFL, James. Now you got three total wins between these teams, and you got an 0-6 ATS team in the Dallas Cowboys. This game is at FedEx Field, rain coming down in Landover, Maryland, and a significant line movement here. Dallas has seemed to be backed by the public, but some smart money coming in on Washington all throughout the week as Washington is laying a point. Washington's strengths, certainly that defensive front, Montez Sweat and Chase Young against a mash unit of an offensive line. What do you got here? Cowboys at Washington with Washington laying a point.
Well, and not only with the mash unit that is the offensive line for the Cowboys, but also a lot of finger pointing going on, yep, maybe behind the scenes and some coming out. I think that's what we see now, 2020, with these younger players. This is their generation where they're feeling more empowered to speak up, even if it's through social media channels. A lot of things aren't just left behind closed doors anymore. So putting things out there publicly or things leaking things out to make sure that it gets out there into the public so they're aware that, hey, it's not me. We're not competing because I'm not doing my job. It's not about me. It's about, well, our coaches aren't coaching well. They're not preparing us during the week. We're not making in-game adjustments because they're still stuck in a different day and age. So I don't know where the identity is for the Cowboys team that used to be ground and pound and run Ezekiel Elliott with the strong offensive line. That's not the case, obviously, for the offensive line anymore. Dalton looked really shaky, and not surprisingly, behind that type of offensive line, not really having much time to throw. I don't like Dallas in this spot. I'm not going to back Washington because I think this is going to be an ugly game. It's going to be sloppy on both sides of the football for each team. And then with that rain coming in, that field does tend to get sloppy as the game progresses.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the greatest of grass fields there, so I think it's going to slow down any kind of advantage that the Cowboys might have had at the wideout position. I look for a low-scoring game and really an ugly game, but it's not a game I'm going to play.
Total at 45, 44 and a half, depending on where you look. I held my nose. I played Dallas, and you're on watch, Dallas. If you don't cover, yeah, we're done. All right, I'm breaking up with Dallas. Probably should have done that a couple weeks ago, James, but you know what? This is their last chance. This is their last chance. All right, 457, 458, Detroit at Atlanta. Atlanta with Julio Jones in the fold yet last week. Wow, they looked like a quality football team. You fire Dan Quinn, Raheem Morris steps in. They're 1-0 with their new interim coach. Now they are a short 1-point home favorite, Detroit at Atlanta this afternoon.
Well, from that matchup last week that Atlanta, when they went into Minnesota and beat Minnesota, I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock into that because I think Minnesota really left their heart and soul the week prior in Seattle on that Sunday night football game playing the Seahawks. They basically had that game won. If they could get half a yard on that fourth down, they sealed the victory there. And really, the way that they lost, it was a heartbreaking loss for Minnesota. And I think they realized that was their season to try to get back into the mix in their division and in their conference. Having where they're at now, I don't think I didn't see any effort and any really enthusiasm or intensity out of Minnesota last week, and they paid for it with Atlanta. The one thing we know, Atlanta has wideouts. They do have the ability to score, but they can't hold leads and can't finish games, and I think that's been kind of the issue with Detroit the last few seasons under head coach Matt Patricia, is in-game adjustments and fourth quarter game management, whether it's managing the clock, whether it's managing timeouts, managing being able to call the right plays on the offense, and in particular the defensive side, letting big leads slip away. I don't trust either of these teams to finish out a fourth quarter, regardless of what the score is. So again, I don't trust either team. And when I have this many question marks on both sides, then it's a stay away from me.
All right, let's try to power through, James. We got four games and about 4 minutes to go. So let's go 461, 462. Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans laying a touchdown at home.
I like Carolina in this spot. I had him at 7.5. I think it's going to be a competitive game. That's the thing with Matt Rhule coming in as the coach. He's really brought a sense of not physical toughness per se. I think they all want to be physically tough on each team, but mental toughness. Like, I see a team that plays with a chip on their shoulder, a lot of new defensive replacements. All 7 draft picks went to the defensive side, but they're playing with an edge. They're playing competitive each and every game and each and every play. And I think Bridgewater has really brought a sense of leadership to that team. I think he's really acclimated himself to this team. They really rally around him, and I think there's an edge with Bridgewater coming back. You know, he was in New Orleans the last couple years, so if anything, he was practicing against that New Orleans defense week in and week out. He knows their tendencies both on offense and defense, so great intel for the Panthers, and there's obviously some issues not only at the receiver position for the Saints, but I think there's some internal issues within that locker room too, so I'm on Carolina today.
No Emmanuel Sanders, no Michael Thomas. Teddy Bridgewater, 14-2 ATS as a road underdog. 463, 464. Buffalo at the Jets. There's some brave souls. This game is now under 10. It's now 9.5. Jets, a 9.5-point dog.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I agree with the line move. I've been saying fade the Jets all season long because of the dysfunction with Adam Gase in that locker room as that coach and really the departures and everybody wanting to skate out of there. But tough scheduling spot for the Bills. Big game last week that they lost to the Chiefs at home, defending champions. Next week on deck, they're hosting the Patriots, sandwiched in with a bad Jets game. Not saying that they're looking past it, because I think the Bills need to right themselves after the last two losses, but some significant injuries in the secondary, in particular at corner for Buffalo. We'll see if Darnold coming back can exploit that today.
No Aaron Jones today in Houston. 464-6. Let me try that again. 465, 466. There we go. Green Bay at Houston. Green Bay laying 3 on the road today, James.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is where people are expecting a bounce back spot for Aaron Rodgers, especially after that debacle of a game that they played and really getting arrogant in that first quarter and then getting humbled thereafter by that Tampa Bay pass rush. To stay away from me because I don't trust the Texans side to be able to make any plays on defense to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers. But I want to see how the Green Bay Packers respond now. You know, they were getting a lot of love those first few weeks. Aaron Rodgers was playing at a MVP level. I think he's fully capable. Like, put the pressure on him. He can handle the pressure. I just want to see how they respond today.
All right, final one. It's a big one. Undefeated teams, Pittsburgh at Tennessee, 477, 478, James. Tennessee laying a point at home.
Should be a great contest. I love football like this. It's going to be very physical, smash mouth, snot rocker football kind of game. Love these kind of games. I can make a case for both teams, so it's not a side. When I make too many cases for each side, I don't want to play it. I just want to watch it and really assess. But I think we talked about this earlier segment. I think the biggest winner of this game is the Baltimore Ravens because they get the bye this week. This game was supposed to happen, Baltimore hosting Pittsburgh. They get the bye, and they get to host a Pittsburgh game or a Pittsburgh team that's going to kind of probably be banged. banged up after this slobber knocker of a game against Tennessee.
We got seven games coming up at the top of the hour, but guess what? VSiN, we're not going anywhere. Betting Across America is coming up next. James will stick around there in Denver. We'll bring in Mike Sinnott. We'll bring in Wes Reynolds. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.